Now, I'd like to perhaps open it up because we've got a relaxed thing happening here at the Science Now Forum. And that means that, you know, you've got a chance here to ask any questions that Rick mentioned or something that you might want to kind of probe a bit more. So I'd like to open up to the audience, and I'll also open up to the panel. But just, you'll have to wave at me because it's a bit dark out there. Oh, there we go. Okay, we have a question there. Madam, thanks. Just so other people can hear it, can you speak into the mic? Thank you.
I was just wondering how Mr. Chappell thought about the prospects of space tourism in the near future.
Space tourism. What are the prospects for space tourism?
There's a group. There may be more than one group. I'm familiar with at least one group that is actively pursuing space tourism. One of the obvious things that you will need to attack if you want to give people the opportunity to take vacations in space is the cost of getting there. A shuttle mission might cost $500 million, which not many of us can fit into our budgets. Even if we took 10 of us along, it's still a little bit too much. And so the challenge is in developing launch vehicles that are much less expensive. There is a group which has a three-stage activity going on right now. That the first is to use airplanes to fly parabolic flights like NASA does to train the astronauts, and those planes would be available around the world, sort of barnstorming, and people could take a flight on those planes and begin to see what, as they fly their parabolic flights, see what it's like, feels like to be in microgravity.
That isn't the vomit comet by any chance.
It is. The NASA version of that is the vomit comet. I'm sorry to say that's what it's called. But all of that is to say that your inner ear, your equilibrium system, sometimes doesn't respond as pleasantly as you like when you're flying a parabolic flight. But those planes, I think, are going to be available fairly soon to begin to give some of the experience. And it's leading to a contest which has a $10 million prize associated to develop a launch vehicle that could launch and return very inexpensively enough that a person could afford to do it. So maybe the price has to get down into the probably thousands of dollars a piece range for it to make sense in terms of tourism. Mm. There are things on the books that people are trying to do. NASA is not into the space tourism business, but is indeed trying to develop launch vehicles that will be much less expensive than the current shuttle, and those vehicles could also be expected to lead to the better opportunity for tourism.
Mm, thanks, Rick. Yeah, I think that ride in the vomit comet would be worth it just for a little bit of to get that feeling of weightlessness, I think would be fantastic. And I think space, you know, really, I mean, that's somewhere where intrepid travel don't go. Until we get those cheaper vehicles, we're not going to get there. So maybe my retirement. Okay, we have another question from the audience there. Thanks, madam.
Just as somewhat of an authority on science and technology communication, what do you feel are the important things that are emphasised to the broader community if space, and particularly space in Australia, is going to sort of gather momentum in the future?
We are going to be answering those questions in some sense, and our other speakers will probably address that very question. We're starting off globally here and coming down towards Australia, but do you want to make any comments, just from someone who, you know, doesn't reside here?
I'll come back and we can all talk about it later on, but just in a very quick way, for nations to accept grand challenges, whether they're in space exploration or in other areas of science and research, and lay those out as opportunities for our children, ends up, I think, driving a depth of creativity that leads to new technologies which do wonderful things for that nation. And we can talk about more of the specifics, but the grand challenge of space exploration, for example, can drive great creativity that will be important to the country.
Okay, do we have time for one more? Yeah, down the front here. Thank you, sir.
Hi. My question is relating to just the energy systems that you mentioned before, like with further exploration, obviously it will be very important to have to develop very good propulsion systems and very economical propulsion systems. I mean, are there any sort of systems in testing or in the initial stages of design that look promising, for example, be it fusion or ramjet engines or that sort of thing?
I think, and I'm not an authority on the propulsion thing at all, but I think the ramjet, scramjet type approach or air-breathing engines that convert into rocket engines at higher altitude is the direction that's being taken right now. And then, of course, lifting body technology for landing the entire vehicle and then rapid turnaround. There's a lot of concentration on, you know, every time the shuttle flies, there are about 1 million things that have to be checked by somebody. And a million is a pretty large number if you're trying to do it fairly frequently, and it's a very expensive number. So more automated operations, there's a lot of interest and activity there, all of which come together to give you a launch vehicle that's a lot less expensive to use.
Okay, thank you, Roger Ramjet, for your question.